ॐ अग्निनित्यमिनन्दस्य जलञ्जनाशलकया चक्षुस्मिलञ्जयनितस्मायमा श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टां स्तपितां जैनबुद्धिलये सायमिपगदमयं ददति सपदिकम् पञ्चकपतिभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च पतितं भवनेभ्यो We've been hearing about Bali Maharaj and Lord Vamandev and how Lord Vamandev has come to the sacrifice held by Bali Maharaj for the purpose of increasing his piety so he'll be able to maintain being the king of heaven. Because one's good piety awards material opulence. Material piety awards material opulence. So at the exact appropriate moment of that sacrifice, Vamandev, the dwarf Brahmana, appeared, begging with his begging bowl and dressed as a brahmachari. And of course, he's the Lord, he's Lord Vishnu. When he exhibited an incredible effulgence, Bali Maharaj was so attracted to him. Actually, he was attracted because he was a devotee of the Lord. And actually, Lord Vamandev, although superficially coming to cheat Bali Maharaj, and indeed he will cheat him, but actually the real reason of his coming is to bestow his mercy on Bali Maharaj by taking everything from him and showing the world what an exalted personality Bali Maharaj is, and thus awarding him fame, the position of Mahajan, and also giving himself ultimately to Bali Maharaj. So Vamanadev begged only a small amount. So small. What did he beg? 3 paces by his own steps, and he was a dwarf, short, legs close to the ground. And Bali Maharaj first tried to talk him out of that begging, and Vamandev answered very philosophically and deeply, if one isn't satisfied with 3 paces of land, what is he going to be satisfied with? Because satisfaction actually doesn't have to do with the externals. If one is satisfied internally due to the mode of goodness being prominent in his consciousness, then one is going to be satisfied. And if one is unsatisfied due to the mode of passion, then one is going to be unsatisfied regardless of the externals. So Vamanadev preached very nicely, but actually he had a plan in mind, and that plan was to take everything from Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj agreed, whatever you want, I'll give you. He was attracted, he wanted to surrender everything. And also he was a Kshatriya, a warrior, whose business is to give charity and satisfy the Brahmins who come begging from him. So he agreed. But then his spiritual master, by whose grace, his name is Sukacharya, by whose grace Bali Maharaj had been brought back to life, under whose directions and by his potency, by the blessings of Sukacharya and the other Brahmins who were descendants of Bhrigu Muni, Bali Maharaj had conquered the heavenly planets. So he came to Bali Maharaj and said, stop. Don't give this brahmachari, Vamana, don't agree to what he says. He's Vishnu. He's come on behalf of your enemy, the demigods. You've been fighting the demigods continuously for forever, practically speaking. There's always war between the godly forces and the demonic forces. And finally, Sukacharya continued, that you've gained the heavenly planets, the seat of heaven, the seat of Indra. And now, you're going to give away in charity to this Vamadev. He'll take everything and throw you out. He'll take everything from you, and not only that, you won't even be able to fulfill your promise. He'll cover the entire earth with one step and with the second step all the way up to the heavenly planets and past that, piercing the universe. He foretold what was going to happen. And you won't even have any place for him to put your third step, and therefore you'll have broken your promise. And for breaking your promise to this exalted brahmana, you're going to go to hell. Don't promise and get out of it somehow or another. Don't break your word, but somehow wiggle out. You didn't say om first. There are so many different reasons. You have to, at least proper charity doesn't give everything away and put one in distress. I mean, should your charity should be limited. Tell him that you don't have anything. But Vamanadev, he said no. He thought about what Balimaraj, what Sukracharya had said, but he had already decided in his mind to surrender to Vishnu. Actually, this was the teachings that Sukracharya always had given him, that you surrendered everything to Vishnu. But when it came to it, he didn't encourage him. Sukracharya didn't encourage him to do it. So he actually, Balimaraj, rejected the orders of his spiritual master in pursuance of his giving everything to Lord Vishnu. So when the ceremonial acceptance of the charity was given, then Vamandeva immediately began to expand. And with one step he covered the world, second step the universe, and when his foot was seen piercing the universe in Brahmaloka, the residents of Brahmaloka, they worshipped that lotus foot. And then Vamandev came back to his normal small size and said, you've promised me three steps of land and I've taken everything with two. There's nothing left. And meanwhile, Garuda came and tied Vamandeva up to complete the cheating. And actually Sukracharya, when after Balimaraj spoke, he said, okay, you're so intelligent that you're going to give him charity despite what I've told you, that I curse you, you'll lose everything and you'll go to hell. So Balimaraj was then tied up. His bodily luster was taken away. He had lost everything. His soldiers decided, all his armies decided that this Vamandev had cheated them, so they began to attack. And they were killed by the associates of the Lord. Balimaraj told them, no, don't attack, this isn't our time. You should leave now. And then Balimaraj, in the beginning of chapter 22, Sukadev Goswami said, O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously towards Balimaraj was fixed in his determination, considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise. He spoke as follows. Balimaraj said, this is text 2, O best Personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. Earlier, after Sukracharya warned him that you won't have anywhere to place, to offer him, you won't have anything to offer him for him to place his third step, Prabhupada explained in his purport that Krishna gives his devotees the intelligence, tadami buddhiyogam tam yinamam upayantite. So here, although Balimaraj is in the most disgraceful position in one sense, especially for a Kshatriya, insulted. An insult is one of the worst things that can happen to a Kshatriya. They have that type of a mood, an abhiman, a false ego. They need that because they always have to accept any challenge. and have to be very bold, because Kshatriya's business is to protect the praja, all the citizens, the animals even. They have to be willing to risk their life, and you need a particular spirit to do that, a very bold spirit and a challenging spirit, and one needs one can never take an insult. So there he was, all tied up. He lost everything, soldiers defeated. He had just been victorious, sitting upon the throne of Indra, and then this little brahmachari takes everything from him in the name of charity. And yet, rather than being angry, rather than feeling insulted, he was fixed in his determination to keep his word. This is actually what's required in Krishna consciousness, a very fixedness and determination to satisfy spiritual master and Krishna. Vyavyasatmika bhudi ekeha kurunandana. One has to be very determined and can't be bahushaka tvanantascha bhudiya avyasayinam. One can't be many branched in one's desires. If actually one wants to be successful, one has to keep this type of determination regardless of what the results or the external results that are going on around him. One who is very serious and determined in his Krishna consciousness remains fixed. So, despite being in the most awkward position, he was very determined, his consciousness was very steady, quite incredible. Because Bhakti Maharaj, he lost everything just there. So he said, if you think my promises become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. Well, how is it possible? He has, with one step he's covered the world, with the second step he's covered the rest of the universe. What do you have that you can still give him? He has such huge little steps. What can you give him? Bhakti Maharaj said, I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your third lotus footstep on my head. Prabhupada's purport. Bali Maharaj could understand the pretense of Lord Vamandev. Actually, earlier on he said, even if this Brahmana has come to punish me on behalf of the demigods, or if he's come to benedict me, I don't care. I'm going to give him this charity. Because the externals of benediction on the material level and the externals of losing everything on the material level are all on the material level, on the superficial level, on the surface level. And they're ultimately, everything will be taken with time anyway. So it was the deeper level that it interested Bali Maharaj, because again, he was a devotee. How did he become a devotee? How did the demon become a devotee? How does anyone become a devotee? By association. So he had associated with his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. So although the Lord's purpose, Prabhupada continues, was to cheat him, Bali Maharaj took pleasure in understanding how the Lord will cheat his devotee to glorify the devotee's position. It is said that God is good, and this is a fact. Whether he cheats or rewards, he is always good. What does that mean? His cheating is also good. He takes everything, ruins someone's life, and it's good? Well, we'll see what happens with Bali Maharaj. He takes everything, but ultimately he will give much more than he will take. He will take something temporary that is bound to be lost anyway, and he will give something eternal which will fill the soul with transcendental ecstasy. He is always good. Bali Maharaj therefore addressed him as Uttama Sloka. Your Lordship, he said, you are always praised with the best of selected verses. On behalf of the demigods, you disguised yourself to cheat me, saying you wanted only 3 paces of land. But later you expanded your body to such an extent with two footsteps you covered the entire universe. Because you are working on behalf of your devotees, you do not regard this as cheating. Never mind, I cannot be considered a devotee. Nonetheless, because although you are the husband of the goddess of fortune, you have come to me to beg. I must satisfy you to the best of my ability. So please do not think that I wanted to cheat you. What was his mood? His mood, Bali Maharaj's mood, is you're saying that I cheated you and I lied to you because I did not give you 3 steps of land. I only gave 2. Don't think that I wanted to do this. Of course, he was offering him. And he took everything. Take what you want, and he took everything. But his concern, oh Lord, please do not think that I wished to cheat you. I had wished to disappoint you and not fulfill my word to satisfy you. You've come to me somehow or another to beg, so let me satisfy you. I must fulfill my promise. I still have 1 possession, my body. You've taken my wealth, but still I have my body. When I place my body for your satisfaction, please put your 3rd step on my head. So this is Atmanavedana. This is a complete self-surrender, a giving of everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. Since the Lord had covered the entire universe with 2 steps, one might ask how Bali Maharaj's head could be sufficient for his 3rd step, because his step took so much. And then one little head, is that enough? Bali Maharaj, however, thought that the possessor of wealth must be greater than the possession. Therefore, although the Lord had taken all his possessions, the head of Bali Maharaj, the possessor, would provide adequate place for the Lord's 3rd step. So he continued, I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you as much as I fear defamation. Prabhupada's purport. Although Bali Maharaj fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not tolerate being defamed for cheating a Brahmana Brahmachari. Being quite alert in regard to his reputation, he thought deeply about how to prevent being defamed. The Lord, therefore, gave him the good counsel to prevent defamation by offering his head. He offered himself, in other words. A Vaishnava does not fear any punishment. Narayana Paraksave Nakutastana Bibhite. A devotee does not care for the externals of any situation. Whether he's in heaven, everywhere is equal to him. Because whether he's in heaven or hell, he is neither in heaven or hell. This is a real devotee. He's with Krishna, and where Krishna is the spiritual world. So he's relishing something much deeper than the externals of a place. Because how much happiness can a place, an external place, offer? The whole material world is selling the glories and the happiness offered by the externals. But the externals really don't satisfy at all. There's the dream that they will be. If I get the car, if I get the I get this, I get that, I get a new carpet, a new bed, a new stereo, a new house, this, that, then I'll be happy. But then, wherever one tries to enjoy those things, he's still the same person, with the same karma, with the same mind. So the enjoyment for the soul is actually on a much deeper level. And if we get to the point of that, of the deepest enjoyment, then the externals don't make any difference. So he did not fear any punishment. Bali Maharaj continues, although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish a subordinate like this. You've punished me so severely. I've given you in charity, I acted properly, and you took everything. and it wasn't sufficient to satisfy you. So you tied me up, and threatening worse. So you've punished me specially. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. What incredible consciousness. Punishment, Prabhupada's purport, punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy. Tateyanukampam susamikshamano. This is the prayer by Lord Brahma from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Bunjanevatmar vitam vapakam vidvagvapurvir vidadhan namaste jivatiyo muktipade sadayavak. One who seeks your compassion, this is the translation, and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. That means, again, internally accepting one's situation, the good and the bad, is Krishna's mercy, and always performing devotional service fully with one's body, words, and mind. This jivatiyo mukti pade sadayavak, this makes one qualify for liberation, that consciousness. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. So how deep one has to be to actually maintain that consciousness. That whatever happens by Krishna's grace is by Krishna's grace. Whatever happens is by Krishna's grace. There's my karma, and Krishna kindly has minimized the difficulty I truly deserve. So whatever happens is by his grace. And accepting that as a fact and continuing rendering devotional service. This is not superficial. This is not cheap. The mind doesn't like this concept. One has to be very deep in devotional service to actually be steadily on that platform. And so deep that practically one is eligible not to be in the material world anymore. Practically, actually, one's liberated when that has that consciousness. Because he's fixed, so fixed in his service to Krishna. A devotee knows that the so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Wonderful vision. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. I have a few quotations. Prabhupada mentions this consciousness. This is mostly from different lectures. Here's from one purport. This is where in the first canto where the bull of religion is being punished. Although the bull or the personality of religion has been beaten by Kali, and then when Raj Prickett said, "Who did this to you?" he wouldn't answer. Although the bull or the personality of religion and the cow, the personality of the earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their suffering, still, as devotees of the Lord, they knew well that without the sanction of the Lord, no one can inflict trouble upon them. According to the Padma Purana, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of seedling sins. But even those seedling sins are gradually fade away by execution of pure devotional service. Thus, even if the devotees see the mischief mongers, they do not accuse them for the suffering inflicted. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses, for otherwise the sufferings they deserve should have been greater. This is from a lecture in Vrindavan by Srila Prabhupada in 1974 in August. So if we simply remember that Krishna has put me in this condition of life, I'm a sudra, for example. That is very nice. Tate anukampam su samikshamano bhunjane vatma kritam vipakam. A devotee is satisfied always. He does not grudge that I am put into this condition, why I'm not put into the condition of a king or a learned brahmana. No, whatever condition Krishna has given me, that is all right. Tate anukampam. It is His grace. By His grace, I have gotten this position, because my only business is to remember Krishna. That we can do in any stage of life. Another lecture from another lecture, also in Vrindavan, September 1976. Don't think that things are taking place automatically. Therefore, even in a reverse condition, a devotee does not see that this thing is happening without direction of Krishna. Even if he is in an adverse condition, he does not feel any pain, because he knows that this adverse condition is also under the direction of Krishna. So I'm fully surrendered to Krishna. Why should I take this adverse position as not mercy of Krishna? It is also a mercy of Krishna. Tateyanu kampam su samikshamano bhunjane vatma kritavapakam. A devotee is not disturbed by adverse condition. He takes that this is a gift of Krishna. Tateyanu kampam. It is Krishna's mercy. Although I am put into difficulty, it is Krishna's mercy. So anyone who takes in that way, muktipade sadayabak, is going back to home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed, because he takes everything as Krishna's mercy. September 11th from Vrindavan. Another one in Vrindavan, October, the next month, October 7th, 1976. He is always merciful. Therefore, devotees never take anything as not merciful. Tate anukampam. They take everything from Krishna as sympathy. Anukampa. Tate anukampam susamikshamano. One who could see this anukampa in reverse conditions, sympathy or compassion, anyone who can see this anukampa in reverse conditions of life, the compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, muktipade sadayabak, his right to become liberation, becomes guaranteed. If anyone accepts the mercy of God in any circumstance, and he does not do anything wrong to anyone, such person is guaranteed to be liberated. That is the injunction of the Shastra. Another one, 1975, in June in Los Angeles. The devotee is suffering from some reverse condition. Then he is feeling very much obliged to Krishna. Not only tolerating, but feeling obliged to Krishna. Oh, my dear Lord, it is your great mercy that I am suffering. This is devotee. He is suffering and he's taking it as great mercy of God. Tate anukampam. Anukampa. Anukampa means mercy. So it is your mercy. Tate anukampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatma kritavapakam. This is exalted consciousness. Therefore, Bali Maharaj, he is a Mahajana. He is a great soul who sets an example that we can hold before us and follow. Text 5. Bali Maharaj continues. Since your lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, you act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige, by chastising us, you give us the eyes by which to see the right path. Purport. Bali Maharaj considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead a better friend to the demons than to the demigods. In the material world, the more one gets material possessions, the more he becomes blind to spiritual life. The demigods are devotees of the Lord for the sake of material possessions. But although the demons apparently do not have the Supreme Personality of Godhead on their side, he always acts as their well-wisher by depriving them of their positions of false prestige. By false prestige, one is misguided. So the Supreme Lord takes away their position of false prestige as a special favor. Bali Maharaj continues, glorifying Krishna for what he's done. Many demons who were continuously inimical toward you finally achieved the perfection of great mystic yogis. Your lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes. And consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, you have taken everything, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved. Purport. Bali Maharaj appreciated the Lord's mercy not only upon him, but upon many other demons. Because this mercy is liberally distributed, the Supreme Lord is called all-merciful. He's merciful to everyone. Bali Maharaj was indeed a fully surrendered devotee, but even some demons who are not at all devotees, but merely enemies of the Lord, attain the same exalted position achieved by many mystic yogis. Thus, Bali Maharaj could understand that the Lord had some hidden purpose in punishing him. Consequently, he was neither unhappy nor ashamed because of the awkward position in which he had been put by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he had some plan, some purpose later that will be revealed. My grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj continued, being recognized by all your devotees, is famous being recognized by all your devotees. Although harassed in many ways by his father, Hiranyakashipu, he still remained faithful, taking shelter at your lotus feet. So we tend to want everything to go exactly right in our Krishna consciousness, in our devotional service, and when there's some upheaval, we become upheaved. We become knocked off. So that's also Krishna's mercy, in the sense that it teaches us how tiny and insignificant and unfixed we are. But Prahlad was not like that at all. He was fixed regardless of what was happening to him. Prabhupada's purport. A pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, although harassed circumstantially in many ways, never gives up the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take shelter of anyone else. A pure devotee never complains against the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A vivid example, in other words, he never complains in what form the mercy of Krishna comes. He accepts everything that happens as Krishna's mercy. Examining the life of Prahlad Maharaj, we can see how severely he was harassed by his own father, Hiranyakashipu. Yet he did not divert his attention from the Lord even to the smallest extent. Bali Maharaj, following in the footsteps of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, remained fixed in his devotion to the Lord, despite the Lord's having punished him. He continues, what is the use of the material body, which automatically leaves its owner at the end of life? And what is the use of all one's family members who are actually plunderers, taking away money that is useful for the service of the Lord and spiritual opulence? What is the use of a wife? She is only the source of increasing material conditions. And what is the use of family, home, country, and community? Attachment for them merely wastes the valuable energy of one's lifetime. So Bali Maharaj is speaking, you've taken all these things, but they were useless practically. Difficulties, trouble. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, advises, Savadamam Pratyajam Amekam Sharanam Braja. Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. The common man does not appreciate such a statement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he thinks that during his lifetime, his family, society, country, body, and relatives are everything. Why should one give up any one of them and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But from the behavior of great personalities like Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, we understand that surrendering to the Lord is the right action for an intelligent person. Prahlad Maharaj took shelter of Vishnu against the will of his father. Similarly, Bali Maharaj took shelter of Vamanadeva against the will of his spiritual master, Sukracharya, and all the leading demons. People may be surprised that devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj could seek shelter on the side of the enemy, giving up the natural affinity for family, hearth, and home. In this connection, Bali Maharaj explains that the body, which is the center of all material activities, is also a foreign element. Even though we want to keep the body fit and helpful to our activities, the body cannot continue eternally. Although I am the soul, which is eternal, after using the body for some time, I have to accept another body, tata dehantara prapti, according to the laws of nature, unless I render some service for the body for advancement and devotional service. One should not use the body for any other purpose. One must know that if he uses the body for any other purpose, he is simply wasting time, for as soon as the time is ripe, the soul will automatically leave the body. We are very interested in society, friendship, and love, but what are they? Those in the garb of friends and relatives merely plunder the hard-earned money of the bewildered soul. Everyone is affectionate toward his wife and is attached to her, but what is this wife? The wife is called stri, which means one who expands the material condition. If a person lives without a wife, his material conditions are less extensive. As soon as one marries and is connected with a wife, his material necessities increase. Pumsa striya matuni bhava metan tayo mito ridya grantamahu ato grihat ketra sutaptivitar janasyamohoyam aham ameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. That was Bhagavatam, that Pumsa Striya Matuni Bhava Maitan is Bhagavatam 558. Human life is meant for self-realization, not for increasing unwanted things. Actually, a wife increases unwanted things. One's lifetime, one's home, and everything one has, if not properly used in the service of the Lord, are all sources of material conditions of perpetual suffering under the threefold miseries, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidhaivika. Unfortunately, there is no institution in human society for education on this subject. People are kept in darkness about the goal of life, and thus there is a continuous struggle for existence. We speak of survival of the fittest, but no one survives, for no one is free under material conditions. So thus Bali Maharaj said that the real thing, the real purpose in life is not to please all these external things, but the real purpose is to please you. And if one has these things, if one engages them, the body, family, house, possessions, this, that, wealth, everything used for Krishna's service, not with me as the center, but Krishna's the center, then the faults of these things do not manifest. Then they become actually Krishna's mercy. But there's such a tendency to place one in the center that always one has to be careful. Bhagavad Dharma, placing Krishna in the center and acting for his pleasure. Bali Maharaj continues, my grandfather, the best of all men, who is his grandfather? Prahlad Maharaj. My grandfather, the best of all men, who achieved unlimited knowledge and was worshipable for everyone, was afraid of the common men in this world. Being fully convinced of the substantiality afforded by shelter at your lotus feet, he took shelter of your lotus feet against the will of his father and demoniac friends who were killed by your own self. He wasn't afraid of his father, even though everyone else in the universe was afraid of his father. What was he afraid of? Association with materialistic persons, because he didn't want to become contaminated with their desires. He didn't want to become infected with their desires. Bali Maharaj continues, only by providence have I been forcibly brought under your lotus feet and deprived of all my opulence. Because of the illusion created by temporary opulence, people in general who live under material conditions, facing accidental death at every moment, do not understand that this life is temporary. Only by providence have I been saved from that condition. What he means to say is that only by Krishna's mercy. Because naturally, one heads down the path, evam janam na prapatitam prabhavari kupam kama bikamam manuya prapatam prasangam. Only naturally everyone heads down the path that everyone else is going in. And what is that path? It's a deep dark well of material entanglement and death and then rebirth and misuse of human life. So only by Krishna's mercy, which comes in the form of generally association with devotees in some fashion, just can one be freed from this natural tendency. Only by providence have I been saved from that condition, said Bali Maharaj. Purport. Bali Maharaj appreciated the actions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although all the members of the demoniac families except Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj considered Vishnu their eternal traditional enemy. As described by Bali Maharaj, Lord Vishnu was actually not the enemy of the family, but the best friend of the family, because his actions were to decrease the false prestige and the material opulence of the demons. The principle of this friendship has already been stated. Yasyaham anugrahami harishya tadanam shanai. The Lord bestows special favor upon his devotee by taking away all his material opulences. Bali Maharaj appreciated this behavior by the Lord. Therefore he said, Daivena nitta prasabhutyajita shri. It is to bring me to the right platform of eternal life that you have put me into these circumstances. So rather than complaining, he was seeing that he had lost everything as Krishna's mercy. Actually, everyone should fear the so-called society, friendship, and love for which he works so hard all day and night. Going to the second part, where he's saying that Prahlad feared association with common men. As indicated by Bali Maharaj, by the words Janat Bita, every devotee in Krishna consciousness should always be afraid of the common man engaged in pursuing material prosperity. Such a person is described as Pramata, a madman chasing the will of the wisp. Such men do not know that after a hard struggle for life, one must change his body with no certainty of what kind of body he will receive next. Those who are completely established in Krishna conscious philosophy and who therefore understand the aim of life will never take to the activities of the materialistic dog race. Prabhupada would say that the humans are racing on with their four wheels and their cars running here and there, and the dog is racing and running on his four legs, but the activities are basically the same, all on the level of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, working so hard, not even considering any other purpose in life. And Prabhupada is cautioning that one can become an animal in his next life, chasing this will-o'-the-wisp, trying to be happy where no happiness exists. But if a sincere devotee somehow does fall down, the Lord corrects him and saves him from gliding down to the darkest region of hellish life. And dante gobir vishatam tamisram punas punas charvananam. The materialistic way of life is nothing but the repeated chewing of that which has already been chewed. Although there is no profit in such life, people are enamored of it because of uncontrolled senses. And dante gobir vishatam tamisram. Nunam pramita kurute vakarma. Because of uncontrolled senses, people fully engage in sinful activities by which they get a body full of suffering. Bali Maharaj appreciated how the Lord had saved him from such a bewildered life of ignorance. He had so much knowledge that he could see Krishna's mercy in the most difficult of circumstances. He therefore said that his intelligence had been stunned. Stabdhamatir na budyate. He could not understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead favors his devotee by forcibly stopping the material activities. He was in that condition. Sukadeva Goswami continues, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the night time. Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment for the eyes. His tall, elegant features dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms, and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. It was nice to hear the glorification of Prahlad Maharaj on the day before Lord Narsingadeva appears. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears, and his face lowered in shame. So he was ashamed and hung his head because he had been arrested by Lord Vamandev and tied up, so he thought that he was an offender. So he felt ashamed before Prahlad Maharaj because he felt that that would be, and Prahlad Maharaj being a great devotee would be upset with him for having offended Vamanadeva and not being able to please him to such an extent that he was even tied up and humiliated in that way for his inability to please him. So he felt that Prahlad wouldn't be pleased with him. 15. When the great personality, Prahlad Maharaj, saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord within his head. Prahlad Maharaj said, My Lord, it is your Lordship who gave this Bali the great opulence of the post of heaven, of heavenly king. And now today, it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as King of Heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, the Lord of the Universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances to him. So we'll read these two purports, the purports to 16 and 17, which are Prabhupada's purports on the words of Prahlad Maharaj. As it is said, Yasyaham Anugrahami Harisha Tadaram Shanai Bhagavatam 10.18.8, it is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence causes one to be puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he's the owner and master of everything he surveys. Although actually, this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Yasyaham anugrahami harisheta dhanam shanai. And then the final short purport. The word ko vichaste gatim atmano yata indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of the modern world. Because of so-called scientific improvements in material opulence, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically no one is interested in God, one's relationship with God, or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will soon come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences. Then people will come to their senses. So very stark and heavy words spoken by Srila Prabhupada. Not an astrological prediction, but just an understanding of the very nature of the material world and the very nature of the way that Krishna deals with the natural way that actually the material energy deals with materialists who have gone mad thinking that the purpose of life is so many other things, so many other accumulations, so many other things other than service to Krishna, service to God. Defying God, daring to declare that God is dead, that He's not relevant. Being intoxicated by pride. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Bali Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Vamanadeva ki jai, Lord Nrsimhadeva ki jai. Itai Gopalanandi.